can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 341. I am joined this very special day by my very special co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, and I'm talking to you, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Please stay with us.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
For every fish there's a little bigger fish. Just a little bigger.
It is Wednesday, December 23rd. A day or maybe 2 days before Christmas. 2 days before Christmas. And on the show today, we have Dr. Mista Productions and their wonderfully wonderful production of Debbie Does Dallas. Later on the show, we'll be talking to the folks that create and do the Muttcracker Suite. All that, and of course, we will have thrilling views and conversations about the world of theater in New York, Chicago, Austin, Los Angeles, and Asheville, North Carolina. Stick around.
And that the little air eats, the little air, cause the little air is littler than her.
The little air. Do you have a little air? I don't want to know. Just, as soon as I said that, I thought maybe we best leave that subject alone.
Oh, that's funny.
Ha ha ha. Hello, Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Lisa Schatz.
I'm checking in with you.
I am crazy busy.
You are crazy busy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the midst of the Armadillo Christmas Bazaar.
Tomorrow's the last day.
No, tomorrow.
Don't yell at me.
I was 10 p.m. tomorrow.
You know what about that play, that thing?
What?
It's bizarre.
Armadillo Christmas
it's bizarre.
And it's Christmassy too.
I volunteered
too.
There once. It is Christmassy.
It's a lot of fun. I go there to do work stuff and I get sucked in forever.
You can buy stuff there.
I've done a lot of some of my Christmas shopping.
There you
there.
Go.
Mom did well there this year.
Ah, lovely Liz. We love our Liz.
I know.
What a wonderful show remix that Tracy Schultz
that
did.
Tracy Schultz he rocks did a, it
he
every
did a wonderful
week.
Job. We learned I learned so much about alternative Christmas music.
Well, you know, there's a lot
ACM,
out there.
ACM, as we call it in the
there's
business.
There's a good amount out there, actually.
Yeah. So that was a very wonderful show.
I bought some new Christmas tunes today.
Lovely. What? Like what?
Well, since we're having the Feast of the Seven Fishes tomorrow night, and you shall partake, I realized I had no Frank Sinatra, so I bought a Frank Sinatra compilation. I bought another compilation from, I think, Ellen did on her Ellen show, and I bought a new Elvis Christmas CD.
Oh, there you go.
See, I bought three new CDs this morning.
Awesome. Well, it's like
I physically bought them. Like, I didn't download.
Congratulations. Well, so you might wonder why I played this song.
Is that for the feast?
It's for the Feast of the Seven Fishes. All of our interstitial music today are going to have fish themes.
For the Feast of the Seven Fishes? I love it.
Fishes.
Everyone's Italian-American
this
today.
This is my first Feast of the Seven Fishes.
It's going to
so,
be good.
I want to remind folks, if you're not listening to us on the podcast, you may want to consider doing that. If you listen to the podcast, a couple of things happen that you don't get here on the broadcast.
Exciting things.
Number one is you get the answer to the trivia question that we will pose a little later on in this section.
Yes.
And then you also get to learn a little bit more about our guest as we trudge our way backstage, and we have backstage at Offstage.
Yes.
And the one thing good about the broadcast right now is you get to learn how the sausage is made.
I know.
For instance, right now, since I can't go off the air and tell, I'm going to tell our guest that she has to take her water out of the studio. Right after I berated them and gave them the rules and said they couldn't have drinks, including water, they decided to just break the rules and come in anyway.
Yeah.
So I publicly shamed them. right here. And now I'm gonna publicly name that shamed person. That's Lexi DeAnda.
Hi.
Am I pronouncing that name right?
Yes, you are.
Pull that microphone closer to your mouth.
Better.
Pull this arm right here.
Yeah, all the way. See, this is where we can't hide anything here on the program. You just do it right there in the open. Joey Banks, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
And also new, and Lexi, you're new to the show.
Yes, I am.
And also new to the show is Monique Huff.
Hello.
Hello, and that microphone works.
Monique's
wonderful.
On the cabaret mic.
She is on the cabaret mic.
I get excited when the mic comes out.
We love having the cabaret mic. Let's see. So that's it. So the weather today is frightful.
I literally was driving here going, do I really have my sunroof open and capri pants on and a short sleeve t-shirt? I tried to put like a sweater vest on to feel Christmassy, and I'm just...
I had a cast party at the Casa last night, and I have a hot tub, and you know, it's not hot tub season when it's... And I had my chimenea going, and it's like people are out there schwitzing and swishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was like...
Down
under without being down under.
Exactly. I had a lovely... coffee out at the coffee shop called Radio today.
Oh, I like that place.
And the weather was just delightful. That's it.
Not frightful.
That's the story. We had some openings this week. Some big openings this week.
One of your favorite shows.
Tradition.
Tradition.
Yes, one of my very favorites. And interestingly enough, when I look at the running time, so those of you that are familiar with Fiddler on the Roof, which is, of course, of what we're talking about, will probably know that it's famous back in the 60s for it had to start right at 8 o'clock because the show ran 2 hours and 59 minutes. And at 3 hours, that's golden time, and the crew and everybody goes into golden time. So they started right at 8 o'clock because it was 2 hours and 59 minutes. The running time on this one is 2 hours 45 minutes.
I was about to say, I saw 40-something, and I was like, yeah. I thought Lisa's told me that other story, so I was a little...
Lisa does not lie.
What did they cut?
I don't know. Well, maybe Danny Bernstein is just faster than Zero Mostel.
I like that.
Speaking
answer.
Of Danny Bernstein, love letter to Mr. Bernstein.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So that's it.
I'm laughing as we complain about the weather, but I'm getting my sweater right now because I'm freezing
in the
studio.
In here. Well, this was. Did anybody else read the reviewers? Did anybody know anything about this particular production?
Mm-mm.
No,
well,
not shaking the head. Monique does not work on the radio.
Yes, yes. Roger that.
Well, this was the production is getting like lots of really good kudos, pretty much all across the board. Thumbs up. Interesting. They start this one and I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. I will say this, regardless of what I'm about to say here, when I read the review, and this is the second time in 2 weeks I read a review, and I didn't mention it last week, I teared up while reading the review. I just love this show so much.
This show, I love it like you do, Lisa.
But they start this, Danny Bernstein comes out in contemporary dress, and he faces a rundown wall of Anastefka, presumably, and it's the shtetl that no longer exists in current day. And then he, oh my God, who left their phone on?
That lady that has Book of Mormons is a
ringtone.
That
would be me. Turn that off. So I berate myself even. Over
yeah, but there. It's a great ringtone and it's very apropos. Yeah. It's okay.
So he sits there and he looks at this bereft wall of an ancient town. Takes off his coat and he's wearing the clothes of Tevye.
Oh.
And then they go into the show. And
almost wrecked.
Exactly. And the townsfolk come in.
People don't like it?
No, this is just me. There was the reviews that I read had no judgment.
I was like, I didn't, yeah.
Pro nor con about it. But I was wondering how I felt about it, especially since they don't bookend it that way. They don't end it the same way. I don't know.
You know what? I don't know how I feel about
I don't know.
It. Either.
Yeah. But wonderful things. Let's see.
Maybe I just go, eh.
Maybe you do. Let's see what I circled on the review that you want to talk about. This was reviewed by Mr. Charles Isherwood. But he does talk about, he's talking about how it resembles a little bit of the movie versus the original.
Interesting.
But he says, and I just quoted this because I sort of agree with him, it resembles the movie one, in this it resembles the movie, and he's talking about some of the musical's emotional underpinnings. It says it's one of the first-rate translations of musical to film, and I sort of have to agree with that. The Topol movie is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's really good.
That movie is brilliant. And I love it.
They didn't regard... I also think things like Chicago is a really good rendition, but they sort of changed the... Not the story, but they changed the feel of it. Fiddler keeps everything pretty much intact, the movie. So,
actually, it's almost a little more heart-wrenching in the film.
Oh, my God. I saw it the other day, and I was just bawling.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. I mean, the musical gets me, but the film gets me.
Oh, so let me read this. This will give you an idea. A framing device finds Mr. Burstein first standing on a bare stage, a contemporary figure in a large red parka facing a monumental gray brick wall. A sign bearing the name Anatevka hangs forlornly over a bare expanse. He is, we assume, a descendant of one of the townspeople coming to see what's left of the shtetl. The answer, nothing. Okay, tears. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah, I'm doing... No one can see my radio sad face with my lip out.
They liked everything about this show, but most of all, they liked Danny Burstein.
But Danny they loved.
And it seems that I didn't get what they were talking about in the description of the set, but evidently the scenic is very interesting in that most of the town hangs above, and then throughout the 2 hours and 45 minutes, as we've ascertained, it gets further away.
Oh, wow.
So by the end, when they're leaving
the town, nothing.
It's gone.
It's underfed, overworked.
Anatevka. So, Hollywood Reporter
says, I
love
this musical so much. I really just have such a place in my heart.
And here I was, but back in the 70s, the first, Jewish kid, and the first...
You're the first Jewish kid in the 70s?
The first Jewish kid in the 70s. The first wedding I went to that they played, Is This the Little... I thought, how clever and original, but I didn't realize, ever since it came out, they've been doing it. But
yes,
anyway.
That's kind of funny, Lisa.
I know, I'm funny. I think everything sort of wraps around me. Oh, here's some... No, I'll do this later. Okay.
I don't know, but you got very excited flipping your page around over there.
So the other thing that opened, which is why Mr. Ben Brantley is not in town. He was actually in Delaware.
Because he had another show.
He had an opening of Diner.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. The Barry Levinson movie from 1982.
Yes. Creative team.
Pardon me?
That's Waitress.
No, correct. That's Waitress. Okay, right, but this actually does. So if you remember the movie, which I didn't, I had to be reminded. It's mostly just the men and one woman. No, I remember the movie, but I don't remember the details of the movie.
Oh.
So this is a reimagining of Diner. It is choreographed and directed by Kathleen Marshall.
Yes.
It is written, the music is written by somebody named Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, I don't know that
who lady. Who has a passing...
Up and comer, I believe.
Right? And she has
she
a passing connection
somewhere.
To Austin,
yes.
Texas.
Yes,
or used to. And this is done in Wilmington, Delaware at the Delaware Theater Company. The reviews were a little...
A little mixed.
So here's sort of a they say there's an appealing group of performers who sing nicely, but lack the urgent individuality that made the episodic movie cohesive and compelling.
I was just, when you said the individuality, I'm like, well, that's what made the movie great.
One apparently. Of the things that they said is that the men could all be, each actor could have, they couldn't tell which actor was playing which role.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not.
That's not very individual.
It's not. But here's the deal.
Give me
I came
the deal,
up with three
Lisa.
Words out of this.
Oh, out of Diner?
Thing. Yeah.
Opposed to Fiddler.
As opposed to Fiddler.
Okay.
So and they're sort of obvious, but they're words that I'd never heard. So we talk about the critics writing reviews that you need to have a dictionary next to you because there's words that we don't typically use. So here in context, your job is to tell me what he means by this. So here it is. So it shouldn't surprise you that this long aborning musical vision should be softer around the edges and more self-consciously retrospective. Aborning. What does that mean?
Read the sentence again.
So it shouldn't surprise that this long aborning musical version should be softer around the edges and more self-consciously retrospective.
New work, like born?
Sort of. Yeah, it means while being born.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Aborning. Blah, blah, blah.
And here's another one. This one just confuses me as to why they chose
this. I don't
know
if that word sounds cool enough to use too often anyway. So aborning.
Aborning. So he's talking. So here she shows up to commiserate on a plight of being a woman in a man's world with her friends, Beth, Shreve's reluctant helpmeet of a wife, and Barbara. Helpmeet. Helpmeet.
I feel like I
know that. H-E-L-P-M-E-E-T, one word.
Mm, see, I was helpmeet. Thinking M-E-A-T, and that was throwing me off.
That's exactly what it means, though.
What?
So why don't they just use that? Helpmate.
Really?
It's a synonym for helpmate.
Wow.
I'm so angry right now, I can spit. And finally, this, well, who here?
He just wants you to know he did well in English class. Who here's, all it who here's is.
He just subscribes to Word of the Day and Dictionary.com.
I do. I do, but I haven't gotten any of these words.
Okay, so here's a, this feels true even in the recreations of the movie's most fondly recalled scenes, which include Fenwick's drunken destruction of a Christmas creche.
Spell
oh, and
it,
let
please.
Me tell you. C-R-E-C-H-E, and there's an accent over the first E. A backwards accent.
Oh, so it's French?
I would assume so.
All right, can I get it one more time?
Which includes Fenwick's drunken destruction of a Christmas creche.
Party? No, but it's not buttery party because I know the...
It's a nativity scene.
It's an... I was close. About to say...
So why doesn't he say nativity scene? So here's how I feel about this particular review.
Do it.
There we go.
Yeah. So anyway,
that was a that, live sound effect.
Yeah, it was.
She likes that with the paper.
I am my own Foley artist.
There you are. Yeah.
I have to sit. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. Because you have a bad ankle. You should sit. Yeah, the other thing that opened was these paper bullets, which is got a musical score. It's a play with music. It's not a musical.
I was about to say, isn't it? It's a play with music, right?
Happened off Broadway. The music that is done is by Billy Joe Armstrong.
Ooh.
Who I guess got the Broadway bug after whatever that show was called.
Broadway
American Idiot.
Idiot.
American Idiot.
American Idiot. Yeah, I'm not calling them Broadway Idiot. That's
well, Broadway
so bad.
Idiot was the name of the documentary.
I know.
Which was a great documentary. I
know,
I really liked
but
it.
I'm laughing.
So this one is also a little... I'll read you the Hollywood Reporter review or part of it. Unfortunately, These Paper Bullets is not a musical, but rather a laborious farce... uneasily combining satirical riffs on the Bard, and by the Bard we mean Billy Shakespeare,
I was like, wait.
With tired spoofing of the Fab Four, and by the Fab Four we mean the Beatles. Since both ideas have been done to death over the years, there's little that's fresh here. And that's basically what everybody Yikes. Said. This is done at the Atlantic Theater Company off-Broadway, and as I said, Billy Joe Armstrong did the music. But here's something you guys can help me with. So where did that go?
That's not nice. That wasn't a good review.
No, the reviews are sort of mixed. They're not great.
No,
but that was just one line of the reviews. Don't take it out of context like I just did. So it takes place with a group, and he says it's now set in London in the swinging '60s and focusing on the frenzy surrounding a hugely popular rock band called the Quartos. And in parentheses, he says, "Get it?" Question mark. I don't get it. Is there anything I'm missing?
Like no. It's supposed to be the Beatles?
It's supposed to be the Beatles, but that's that. I don't think
do
it does.
They have a? Did they? You know, I know the Beatles, but I don't know the Beatles.
No,
like
I know the
Beatles.
I know the Beatles. It has nothing to do with.
So it's not in a song or a lyric or something.
No, I thought maybe somebody else would know.
No, did you Google Quartos?
No, I should have done that.
Yeah.
So what?
Maybe I'll do
what
that.
Charles Isherwood says. What has most crucially gone missing, unfortunately, is any depth of feeling in the main characters, which becomes a liability as the show stretches into 2.5 hours. This is a play based on All's Well That Ends Well. No. Much Ado About Nothing.
I like Much Ado.
Me too.
So that's that.
Well, you know what.
Okay.
Those kind of reviews are meant for you to tweak and work on that project. I hope it goes elsewhere.
So the last theater thing I want to talk about, I just need to say, and I should have said this at the top, today is the first day of Festivus.
Oh.
Or the
Festivus.
Only, or the only day of Festivus. I really don't know
Festivus.
How it works.
Festivus.
So in Playbill, they had the editor's top picks of the top theatrical albums of the year. I thought I'd run those down.
Yes. Why don't you share with us?
So An American in Paris.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Hamilton, which I've been listening to a lot lately.
You love the Hamilton.
Love the Hamilton.
Yep. Is that ranked 9?
It's not in any order.
Okay,
these are
good.
Just the top 10. I would think that would be probably number 1. Yeah. Honeymoon in Vegas. Jason Robert Brown made it twice on this list.
Yeah.
So it's Honeymoon in Vegas and The Last 5 Years.
Mm-hmm.
John and Jen. Not sure why.
Really? That's on there.
Not a huge fan.
Yeah. School of Rock, your show.
You know, it should be. I
just bought that.
It's good stuff, man. Those kids rock.
And your boy Kander and Ebb's The Visit is on this list.
Oh, well, you know, it's Kander and Ebb. It should be.
Yeah.
It's the last of all their works. And then there's
a album called, it's Sarah Bareilles, who I don't know.
Sarah Bareilles?
I know her. But she has an album called What's Inside, and it's Songs from Waitress. It's not the it's not the soundtrack from Waitress, but it's Songs from Waitress that she sings. And then finally, The Wiz Live. They're saying that's one of the best.
Was on, they rebroadcast it the other day.
Yeah, I know.
Did you get the email I sent you about the behind the scenes of The Color Purple that they filmed, the documentary?
No, you sent me no emails.
I did send you emails. Well, it was on...
If you sent an email like in the past 2 hours, I'd have
No. I sent it last week. I'll resend it to you because it's rebroadcasting. It's on the OWN network, but it's a documentary on the make. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because we like The Color Purple, so I had to share.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Now we're going to go straight to the... Oh, I have another question that is totally not theater related.
I might have an answer. Is it about J.J. Watt?
What is the USA...
Oh, yes.
Liberia...
Yes.
...and Myanmar have in common?
We're countries?
That is. That is an absolute truth. That's not what it is.
Is this funny or is this?
It's not funny. It's just
interesting.
I'll tell you because we're running out of time. They are the only three countries that are not mandated to use the metric system as a form of measurement.
I didn't know there were others besides us. That's kind of awesome. Yeah.
But Myanmar and Liberia.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right. So on to the trivia question. As a reminder, we're going to ask a trivia question. We ask our studio audience not to answer.
Okay.
Because we're going to get the answer, and you're going to get your chance to make your best guess or knowledgeable answer during Backstage at Offstage if you deign to stay. So, Nicole, what's the trivia question?
I am going to do a Christmas one. The shoppers in my favorite Christmas song, 12 Days to Christmas.
12 Days of Christmas, 12 Days of Christmas.
Plenty of time to do the Christmas shopping. Which that's coming to Broadway soon. They hate their better prepared friends and neighbors for all the following reasons except. A, they mail their packages in August. B, they did all their shopping in time. C, they trim their trees 9 days before Christmas. D, they print their names on their cards in June. And E, their cards arrive on the 24th.
Okay, that's way too easy, but I'm just going to let it go.
They were all easy.
It's all right.
It was Christmas.
It's Christmas.
And
it's our Christmas gift to you, dear listeners, that you get an easy one. We're sending you a softball. So we're going to take a little break.
They're all whipping out She Loves Me Right Now and listening to lyrics.
We will hear our second song about fish.
I'm Meredith McCall and you're...
Nope, that wasn't it.
Meredith's going to say hi for a second.
Hi, Meredith.
Let's do this instead.
I went fishing with my dad.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP with me, Lisa Sheps, and Nicole Shiro. We've been talking to Joey Banks, Monica Huff, and Lexi Dionda. Dionda? Dionda.
Dionda.
Dionda. Dionda. Dionda.
That is a fun name.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
And we're going to continue talking. But before we go on, Joey and I share something in common.
Oh.
Tell folks what we share in common.
Well, I was saying this over the commercial break because I'm ashamed of this story.
Why are you ashamed of it?
You'll find out soon.
Oh, okay.
My very first Broadway show was Fiddler.
Okay, so by the way, this is where our stories diverge.
Yes, probably.
Yeah, but who were you? Was it with Rosie?
No, it was Alfred Tevye. Molina.
Yeah, so that was the latest.
Right.
That was the Rosie.
And I had just become a theater major. Uh-huh. And so this was my very first musical on Broadway, and I went, and we had second row seats, like
Lovely.
Right up there. And I had not learned appropriate theater etiquette as of yet. And so
did you, wait, don't tell me you went on stage and plugged your cell phone in.
No. Though I could have done something, it might have been more distracting what I was doing. But I had just seen Spider-Man 2, and I just saw Alfred Molina, who had played Doc Ock. And so I spent some of the time when he first came on throwing my Spider-Man hands.
Oh, no.
Wow.
As if I was shooting webs at him while he was dancing on stage. And then my friend was like, oh, stop that. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I had never been in a professional theater before.
Well, my very first Broadway show as well was Fiddler on the Roof. And I spent all my time sending the Pony Express over to the kids. Old I am.
Shazam.
Okay, but we're here to talk about a little show called Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah.
That is currently playing over at the Salvage Vanguard Theater, and it is a Docta Mista production. Who wants to tell us what this show is?
Monique, would you like to?
This show is a nod to a very now classic film piece of art that was created decades ago, takes out some of the more inappropriate scenes and adds a lot of jokes and singing.
So by famous, you're saying it's one of the more famous pornos of the 70s.
Oh yeah.
Along with Deep Throat, The Devil and Miss Jones, Behind the Green Door, etc.
Lisa, you have quite a repertoire on your tongue.
Well, these
right
are
now.
Some of the movies that actually were in theaters.
I know that weird. Everything was in a theater.
Yep, I am of that era, as you know. So that's cool. And I'm guessing none of you are of that era.
Nope.
Was anybody alive during when these things came out in the mid 70s?
No.
I was.
No.
Yeah,
other than Nicole, who's older than I am. Nope. Okay, but from what I read, I have not seen the show, but I've heard some of the music, but from what I read on the Docta Mista website, is that instead of the naked sex scenes, you've replaced them with musical numbers.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So the idea is when it's supposed to get to the point where those scenes happen, there's a song now.
I love this show.
Yeah, we find that in a different way.
Yes.
I love this show, and I love the music from
the
show.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen it.
Where did you see it?
I saw it a little, off Little Kilter production in New York. Years ago, but it's, I guess, how old is it now when it was in the festival? I guess it's like
2004, I think.
I was about to say beginning of 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's very cleverly done, and the music that's in it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And are you tapping in it? Because there is some great.
I'm not tapping in it.
Caroline does.
I know.
Caroline doesn't tap.
Yeah. But there is some tapping in it. Yeah. It's, I love,
you know,
I
what?
Think
you
it's
just
clever.
You don't associate when you think of porno and triple X movies, you don't think of tap dancing.
What do you really think of breaking out into song either? Which is a shame.
Well, no, you actually, I would think about breaking out in song.
You would?
Oh, yes. Definitely. There's just no question. But tap dancing, I don't know.
There's an untapped market there.
There you go.
Stop.
No pun intended.
Stop.
So what do you each play? Joey, what role do you play?
I play Rick, who is the quarterback, as well as Hamilton, the tennis pro.
Double casting.
Yeah, all the guys play multiple roles in this production.
Right.
Yeah.
And Lexi?
I'm playing Lisa, and she's the misunderstood boyfriend-stealing hussy of the show.
I believe the misunderstood is something you added.
No, it's there. There's layers to Lisa.
And Monique, tell me you're playing Debbie.
I'm playing Debbie.
Yeah.
She's really? I need Debbie.
So one of the things that we tend to think of when we think of porno is a very weak or non-existent storyline. But I'm guessing y'all have sort of fixed that a little bit. Is there a storyline, and what is it?
There's a storyline. I think
it's
more
simple
than anything, we point out the maybe not so great script of the original.
Okay.
Of the original.
Yes. Well, a lot of the text is lifted straight from the porno.
The movie.
A lot of the actual lines verbatim are said. So we.
Is there any that are radio friendly that you can give us an example of? No. Okay. Never mind.
I'm too scared to try.
I hear you. That's good enough. Yeah. All right. So we're going to hear some music, but before we do that, Lexi, I'm going to give you a job.
Okay.
Your job is to choose a number between 6 and 44.
Oh, changing it up today, Lisa.
I always change it up.
9.
Oh, okay. So
why
9?
A question from 9 the musical.
You don't know? It just came to you. Yeah. All right, well, let's see what you chose.
Hey, we're Comedy Sports Austin! You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM!
Do something funny!
Do something funny! Thank
you. We haven't heard that in a while.
We haven't. Overmodulated. Whoever recorded that was not very good, because that was actually one of the very first legal IDs we got.
Was it?
Wow. Yeah, that was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Wow. Because Comedy Sports does not exist here in town anymore.
No, we are old people.
It hasn't been, hasn't existed here in quite a while. Anybody here do improv?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. You know about Comedy Sports?
I do.
They've got a very strong one in Chicago, which is I worked at the one in Chicago. I was Comedy Sports Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Back in the day.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we want to hear a little song from this show.
A little ditty,
and I think
you
the
don't
first
say.
One is going to be from you, right, Joey?
It is.
Okay, you want to set us up as best you can?
I'm also going to stand up here.
Okay, good. Okay. I was wondering if you were ever going to...
Yeah, so this is a song that is sung by Rick, Debbie's boyfriend, and he is dealing with the ramifications of her getting a job and not spending as much time with him. So he's talking to his bros right now.
Okay. So this is a song from Debbie Does Dallas called I Want to Do Debbie, sung by Joey Banks. And this is a Dr. Mr. Debbie Does Dallas production. Here we go.
Well, folks, it's like this. I'm just a guy like any other guy. I want to have sex. Don't ask me why. And she's pretty nice too, but now that she's working, I don't know what to do. I wanna do Debbie. Debbie's what I wanna do. I wanna do Debbie. Maybe her and Lisa too. I wanna do Debbie. Job has gotta go, I can't take it anymore. It's messing with my brain and it's screwing up my score. There are plenty of other chicks with big, beautiful hips, with no dreams and no cheers and no jobs. I wanna do Debbie, but she won't even let me kiss her lips. I'm dumping her. That's it. Whoa, oh, 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 Debbie.
Well, and therein sort of tells the story of the show, doesn't it?
Oh, this stuff makes me laugh.
Cindy, you play the boyfriend that she like says no to, correct?
Right. Or he pretty much says no to her.
Oh, right. Well, clearly, according to this song.
Oh, yeah, no.
It sounds like fun. So the style of this song clearly is rock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we have to look forward to for most of the numbers here in the show, or is it does a melange of styles?
It's definitely a melange. Yes. A melange. A good way. Yes.
I forgot the word. There's a word, but I forgot what it is.
Melange.
A melange.
A melange. Yes, you used it.
Any calypso?
We got a little salsa.
Yeah, we do. A little bit of salsa.
Salsa's close to calypso. What's been challenging about this?
I think the show itself is just so tongue-in-cheek and so silly that it runs the risk of tiring the audience out. So it's about keeping it at a level where we don't lose them. We have to make sure we can keep the energy up the entire way.
Yeah, and I would think that the Dr. Mista has done a really good job of developing an audience, and I think that most of his audience is like... are right there with
right.
them.
Yeah, they're
yes.
on... Yes, that's very well
said. Now, I did notice a note in the... website that talked about the show, but I'll let y'all say there is no nudity in this production, correct?
Correct.
There is not.
Okay, so, but I believe Dr. Mist is on their website. I don't remember the exact words, but it says theater for all ages, and then in parentheses, well, maybe not all ages. So that's sort of what we have here, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I would say...
I'm not going to bring my 8-year-old.
No, I think, you know... 16
well, if you did, fine. You'd be getting a lot of looks at.
Well, you know, I get
be like, lady,
I get a lot of looks.
Let's
anyway.
Have a little comment.
All right, well, let's hear another one.
Yeah,
y'all want to hear another one? Y'all
yes.
Hear another one? So let's see. The next one on the list, we have a small town girl.
Yeah, this is a little less rock and roll and a little more traditional musical theater. I want
TMT. To we call that
great. Perfect.
TNT. Yeah.
TMT. Traditional musical theater.
Oh yeah. Well, TNT. TMT.
Exactly.
See?
So what is it, so tell us about this. This is towards the beginning of the show, correct?
Yeah. This is kind of our introduction to Debbie's heart in this song. She has just found out that she is accepted as a Texas Cowgirl cheerleader, and now she needs to raise the funds in order to get there. And we haven't made the leap to
of how she's going to raise those funds.
At this point, she's just thinking she's going to get a full-time job. But so she's struggling with leaving home and pursuing her dreams.
It's a pretty song. So let's listen to Monique Huff doing Small Town Girl from Dr. Mista's production of Debbie Does Dallas.
I'm a small town girl with a chance at the big time, and chances don't come easy. If I get a job, it's a choice that I'm making, and if I don't step up, this chance might leave me. If I look hard enough into the setting sun, I see my future and I've got it on the run, and it scares me so. Yeah, it scares me so. I've never had to try and make it on my own. I've never had to work my fingers to the bone, and it scares me so. Yeah, it scares me so. There are things I want, but they seem so far away, and I'm no closer now than I was just yesterday. But if I start now, I'll be one step closer to my dream. Each day my life is changing right before my eyes. I see a world. Something monetarily, then how much will my wishes end up costing me? I wanna be someone, I wanna be great in that blue and white outfit in the Lone Star State. I'm a small town girl, far away from the big time, but if I start now, I'll be one step closer to
feel very musical theater as. That's a pretty
yeah, it's
song.
It's pretty, isn't it? Yeah, there's some it nice surprises.
Do it again.
In this show.
Well, Tom Kitt was, from Next to Normal, wrote a lot of these songs. And so you
it
can
has
start
a very
them.
Next to Normally kind yeah. of feel yeah. to it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I did not know that. Say that we learn very,
the
very much.
The things we learn.
The things we learn.
On stage and on the air.
So we're going to take a little break now. It appears that the Muttcracker folks weren't able to make it. They may have been caught in holiday traffic. So we're just going to continue to talking to you guys, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
But we will take a little break, talk about some local stuff going on. And then, of course, we'll have Today in Theater History. But in the meantime, we will ask everybody to just hang out and wait for us to come back.
Yes.
In the meantime, we'll hear a little bit more from Debbie Does Dallas.
When you open up a letter and it says, Dear Debbie Benton, but I guess you wouldn't do that because your name is
We are
Debbie
back.
Benton.
We are. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on Co-op Radio with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We've been talking to the cast of Debbie Does Dallas, Monique Huff, Joey Banks, and Lexi DeAnda. And now we're just going to switch gears for just a little moment and talk about some of the local stuff. Nicole, do you have anything local you want to talk about?
I just realized that I had shut the page by accident, so I was pulling it back up. My printer wasn't working. So right. Why don't you go first?
I will if I can find my piece of paper.
See, we are just batting a
well,
out
I
of
was
the park.
Crazy, but I saw this in the Now Playing Austin. I just thought it looks like fun. It's a UT, which is a school here in Texas.
Huh.
And conveniently located in Austin, actually.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, where? It's true. I didn't even know it was here. They're doing a new musical called Hell Drivers of Daytona.
Yes. I think I talked about this not too long ago. Did you? When they were first. Yes.
Okay.
When
well,
they
were it's a NASCAR musical, of course. And it's talking about the tensions, the race, and the drivers compete for the top slot in the 1965 Daytona Speedway jackpot.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's amidst a sea of tanned surfers, speedway groupies, motorheads, and bikinis.
Yeah.
Characters by the name of Lucky Stubbs and Pepper Johnson pepper this show.
Why don't you just call me Pepper?
Yeah. You can find information on the UT Fine Arts website. The dates are January 15th and 16th. So it appears there's only 2 days to see it.
Yeah, I was like, I thought it was shorty. A shorty little shorty. Run.
I'm thinking about creating a film called Get Shorty. What do you have?
Oh, well, that's kind of funny. Well, I had the Muttcracker on here, but they're
you may as well talk about it since they're not here.
Yeah, because they're not here. So, and then I saw they were coming, so I stopped. But we've had our buddies on the Muttcracker. Were they on last year or year before?
They were on last year.
That'll be happening over at the Vortex. Actually, it's happening right now because it opened on the 17th, running through January 3rd over at the Vortex. And I believe they've had some top picks in the paper these days.
Yeah, and I just because they're not here and we would have done this, I'll just have to do this right now. So, you know,
that is kind of awesome.
Well, I played this again last year, so yeah, I try not to repeat them, but you have the Muttcracker on. You
come
gotta do,
on. Yeah. How do you not?
I think I know that third dog.
It's my neighbor.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
It is.
And then I just, you know, being that it's the holiday season, I just, our guests last week are doing the Christmas Carol Classic Radio Cast up in the Old Settlers Hall in Round Rock. And then at Zach, there's the Christmas Carol going, and you love the Dickens. So
I love the Dickens, and we've talked about, I've been actually talking about this version. Has anybody other than me seen?
I saw it last year.
Saw it too. And they took some heat over the Cratchit family being all Latinos, and I think that heat was misguided. I believe that they were fine. So Dave took that heat to heart, and now the Cratchits are a multicultural family, which I think lessens. I think it. I don't know, but I haven't seen it this year. But I enjoyed it. I normally don't like when Dave screws with things the way he does.
You were unsure going in with the music.
I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yes.
And there's some great talent up on that stage.
Oh, yeah. So there's two different Christmas carols to get your Dickens
you
on.
Go.
And
I will do
that one runs till the 27th, and the other one runs in Round Rock, runs to the 26th. Right. So.
And next week, after Christmas, if you still haven't had enough Christmas, and on this program next week is Alejandro Garza, and he's going to be talking about Abuelita's Christmas Carol.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
See, there is Dickens for everyone in every form. It's just like Willie Shakes.
Si, señorita.
Si, señorita.
Let's go straight to today in theater history.
Dun, dun, dun. Shall we? What happened today?
Way back when? 1893.
I walked 5 miles to school in the snow.
It is the birthday of Anne Pennington.
Dun, dun, dun. Why do I feel like I should know that name?
I don't know. I didn't know who she was.
I feel like I should, though.
She was part of Ziegfeld Follies and George White Scandals.
Okay.
Specifically from 1913 to 1928.
Well, that was a great year.
She died in 1971. So
that was a full life.
I know. 1908, Eddie Foy plays a circus performer in Mr. Hamlet of Broadway, which is a musical which I searched for music for but could not find.
Don't you wish we had like the Lincoln Center Library archives next door?
Exactly. In 1921, an engaged couple travels the Dover Road, which is called Dover Road, which is written by one A.A. Milne of Winnie the Pooh fame.
Mr. Pooh.
And then, let's see, 1944, another wacky musical, which I could not find the actual music from. It's called Laughing Room Only, and laughing is spelled L-A-F-F-I-N-G.
I love it.
Music by Burton Lane. It was at the Winter Garden Theater, your favorite theater.
Yeah.
And it was the comedy team of Olsen and Johnson. Yeah.
Mm. Well, actually, you know what? I can't make fun of the Winter Garden anymore. Rocky Das Musical made me happy with its boxing.
Okay, game. Good.
I saw that. It was great.
Finally, this is the anniversary of the death of Michael Kidd.
Oh.
Choreographer who won 5 Tony Awards. And he had done so many things. I had to like Wikipedia him to find out exactly what he's done because I could name some, but I couldn't name them all. He did Finian's Rainbow.
Yep.
He did, look, these are the Broadway credits.
Wow. Okay. Give me some. Because we're going to play trivia on Christmas Eve. This might be an answer.
Finian's Rainbow. His first one was a ballet. When he left ballet, he was in the Ballet Theater, which then turned its name to American Ballet Theater.
Yep.
And he was a star there, and he left to do Broadway and never came back, which I thought was very interesting.
Got the bug.
Destry Rides Again, Subways Are for Sleeping, which also I could not find that because I thought that would be a fun one to do. Breakfast at Tiffany's, The Rothschilds, one of my favorites. Finian's Rainbow, as I said, Cyrano, The Music Man. And
The Music Man.
The Music Man Revival in 1980.
Yeah.
So he did a lot. And he was like 90 when he died.
Another fulfilled life.
So from his show, The Goodbye Girl, which was the last show he did on Broadway, and he won a Tony nomination because he also choreographed it and he also directed it.
Good for him.
So this is from The Goodbye Girl.
The good news is I'm sharing this apartment with a pair.
Okay.
It's my Miss so Peters.
It's Miss Bernadette Peters, and the male voice was Martin Short.
I thought it might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I remember when that played. That wow.
Yeah, I do too. Well, it wasn't that long ago.
It was the 80s, Lisa.
So let's... That's not that long ago.
Yeah, it's longer than we think.
Actually, The Goodbye Girl was like... Wait, hold on. It wasn't the
80s. The 80s, early?
It was... I'll give you exactly. It was 91? 93.
Oh, 93.
That a mere 11 years ago.
No.
12 years... 21 years ago.
Yeah. Exactly.
Matt, I did not do math very well back in the day. So Debbie Does Dallas. Let's talk more about that, shall we?
Let's.
What are some of the fun anecdotes y'all have about this particular production?
We have
Michael McKelvey, who is the director of this and the artistic director of Dr. Mr. Productions, is not here. So we can say whatever we want.
That's right.
And he won't be listening. So go ahead and speak out of school.
We have a banana budget.
That's true.
The show, we have to.
Oh God, I don't even want to go there. My mind just went to all sorts of different places.
As it should.
Yeah. So
are bananas even in season right now? I guess you can always get them from a tropical place.
Yeah, I guess so.
Everything's in season,
and
everything has its season.
Everything, yes.
Everything has its run.
I think this is the last show at Salvage. Too.
No, like no, they're going. Here till June.
Oh, okay, yeah. Great. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So. Phew. Don't scare
that was
everybody.
Like, you just scared all of Austin. Yeah, the phone lines are going to start going bananas.
So let's hear from Lexi.
All right.
Well, you switched places.
They did.
I was like, went to talk to you there, and you're gone.
She jumped up.
So let's. So what song are you going to do, Lexi?
I'm going to be singing God Must Love a Fool.
And she does, actually.
Yes.
Yes. So what's set it up for us.
Sure. This is towards the end of the show, and it's probably the only real serious moment in the show. And it has a nice little cabaret setup and everything. So it's kind of cute. And
you mean you get a setup as in a physical setup?
Well, they bring on a stool and everything. So all of a sudden we shift from this satirical, you know, setup to a nice quiet moment.
Uh-huh.
And you get a little peek into Lisa's soul.
Okay, she and remind us who Lisa is again.
Lisa is the boyfriend stealing Hussy.
Oh,
the misunderstood.
The misunderstood. Yeah.
But I was like, you forgot the misunderstood part.
Yeah. So she finally gets what she wants, but it isn't all that it's cracked up to be, or at least not to her.
Story of my life. So let's listen to Lexi DeAnda, and she's singing God Must Love a Fool from Dr. Mista's production of Debbie Does Dallas.
Ain't it just like life to know what you want and where you want to go? No way to get there but blonde hair, pretty smile, my body made for show. It ain't hard to see that I've had more than just a little trouble following the rules. You might wonder how I've gotten by so far. All that I can say is God must love a fool. Maybe I ought to be ashamed, only me to blame for all that I've done. Good for a laugh, but all that
the show. It makes me smile every time. I think I may have to dust off this album and put it on.
All right. And you know what? This is a challenge to our listeners here because, you know, I came into this interview with a lot of preconceived notions that have been busted.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. For this totally show.
Totally been busted.
Totally, yeah.
This music is lovely.
Yeah.
Y'all's voices are pretty good. No, your voices are lovely. It's mm-hmm. It all sounds like something
you
that
do the music justice.
You sing good.
You sing nice, lady.
I want to see the show.
It's fun, Lisa.
I want to see it.
Yes.
Well, I want to see
you know what, Lisa? You should.
I may very well.
Well, there you go. Maybe I'll go with you. How
maybe
about that?
It's been a hard candy Christmas. I just went to Hard Candy
Ooh.
Christmas.
Oh, that's another good one.
This. So we've actually had three different styles of music. We had the rock, mm-hmm. the sort of the ballad, the anthem.
80s, yeah.
Had the Broadway style, and we switched into a little bit of country mm-hmm. with a little Donnie and Marie thing happening there. A little bit country.
I go with country politics.
Just a little bit of country.
No, that was country politan years. That's definitely don't. Yes.
But that was great. So where can folks get information about this show?
So they can go to our website, which is DOCTUH, Mista.
Not A, because I make
MISTUH .org. And we are running to January 8th.
January 8th at the
Salvage Vanguard Theater.
Which is still in existence.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it's funny.
Is.
The moment I said that, Mike texted me and was like, how's the show going? So the moment we were talking about him, it's like he heard.
It's basically that it was a subliminal, I'm listening. I just want to make
Michael
sure
hear
you.
Well,
know.
Shout out to Michael McKelvey. We're sorry he's not here, but
yeah,
thank you guys.
I'm bummed I didn't get my holiday hug, mister.
Thanks for...
Dr. Mister.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And I hope y'all stick around to come backstage with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Otherwise, we'll be lonely.
So that was Joey Banks, Monique Huff, and Lexi DeAnda of Dr. Mister's production of Debbie Does Dallas, playing through January 7th at the Salvage Vanguard. For more information, drmista.org. And you know what? I played this before. I played it too soon, but we're going to hear it again.
Okay.
When you open up a letter and it says, Dear Debbie Benton.
Okay, that's enough.
Oh, this song got really good. I liked this song.
I like the song too. But you know what?
Maybe you could put a little backstage. No.
Well, maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
You never know. I control everything. I control the horizontal and the vertical.
You have the power.
Yeah. Well, we've gone through another hour here on the airwaves. Good thing we're going to step backstage.
Good thing.
We're going to step backstage and back through the stage door.
Yes.
Past the dumpsters this time.
Well, step
and we're
going to
go right into the middle of the parking lot.
Oh.
Right where the drain is.
Okay.
Yep. And that's it. Well, you should be. It's going to be fun. So listen, folks. So those of you that want to listen to what we're going to say backstage and learn about our guests, make sure you get the podcast. And you can get that by going to iTunes and subscribing to us on iTunes or on Stitcher.
Yes.
There's got to be another way to do it.
Oh, you know, I think
there's got to be another way to do it.
Oh, the best way. Lisa and Nicole get delivered in your mailbox.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, we just arrive. You go to offstageonair.com, enter your email address in the little box to the right, hit enter, and voila!
Voila! Every Thursday it comes to you.
Each week we appear.
Yep. So, reminder that, of course, not only will you hear Backstage at Offstage and learn about our fab-osh guests, but you will learn the answer to the trivia question.
Yeah.
Which this week is a stumper.
Just a stumper.
It's like, what people do the 12 days of Christmas people not like? She loves me. That's all I want to say.
Yesterday, she loved me.
That's true. So stand by for Austin Monitor News. They're next. And then, of course, another bottle down happens after that. And they are chowing down on the booze today.
You
look
know,
at them out there.
I know.
Okay, that Mark Rayshap knows how to drink.
Yeah, he teleports very well,
But the
too.
Good news is, no matter what they do out there when they're tasting those wines, he comes in with really insightful, straightforward issues. And I learned so much from listening to his show.
Yes.
Another bottle down on Co-op. So Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Please.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. And
well, Hanukkah passed, but I'm going to still say happy Hanukkah and Festivus.
Fun Festivus
today. Yes, Festivus.
And our last fish song, I forgot what it is. It's another fish song. It's Gefilte Fish. Well, the curtain has just come down on Salted Cod, the musical.
Bacala.
The story of a hapless young fish seeking love in the big ocean, but can't find it because he smells of salt.
He's on the table for the feast.
He's on the table of the feast of the seven fishes. Well, here we are backstage. Rather than stay here next to the dumpsters, which we normally do, we've traversed out into the middle of the parking lot near the storm grate.
That's called living on the edge, Lisa.
It is. And joining us out here are all the guests from earlier. Joey Banks, welcome to the parking lot.
Thank you.
Monique Huff, welcome.
Yes, feels warm.
Yes, you got that right, Lisa. And Lexi Dionda.
Hello.
Hello. Well, welcome to Backstage at Offstage. None of you have been backstage before.
Nope.
This is great. So we're going to start off, first of all, by getting the answer to the very difficult trivia question. Recap the question.
Okay.
Please.
The shoppers in 12 Days to Christmas hate their better prepared friends and neighbors for all of the following reasons, except A, they mail their packages in August. B, they did all their shopping in time. C, they trim their trees 9 days before Christmas. D, they print their names on their cards in June. Or E, their cards arrive on the 24th.
Okay.
That's from the musical She Loves Me.
Right. So do we know the answer? Do you know the answer?
I do not.
No?
Monique? You want to take a guess?
I do not.
Okay. Joey, do you know the answer?
I'm going to go trees.
You can go trees. I'm gonna go trees as well.
You guys are gonna go trees? You're actually correct.
Yeah, of course.
And then it puts in parentheses, apparently, haven't trimmed their trees 9 days before Christmas. Yeah, the other ones are all lyrics.
Yeah, I knew
the show. I've been in the show, so I was like, that is not fair.
12 days of Christmas. This would be the first Christmas since you've been co-hosting that I have not played it.
I was like, you did not play that song today, and I was going to text her, and I'm like, I don't need a reminder. She'll know. But
didn't
you know what?
Do it.
You played songs for the Feast of the Seven Fishes, and I did
fish
down
songs
with
instead.
That instead.
So maybe let's just take a moment right now in honor of you to hear just a little bit of that song. Oh, God, that's good.
That stuff's awesome, right?
Awesome.
It was
really
wonderful.
One
of the greatest Christmas songs.
Yeah. Did y'all like it?
I did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Did you like this particular rendition of it? Because it's different than the normal one.
Yes, and that's what got me ready for the holidays.
Yeah. Oh, see? Yeah.
There you go. And of course, the truth be known, it is the normal one.
It is the normal one.
So, Monique, what's your story?
I'm from Austin.
Texas?
Yes.
Okay.
The one.
Could have been a different one.
Right. True. Possible. And I met Dr. Mr. Michael McKelvey when I was 12 or 11, and he was my first foray into musical theater.
Was it part of the Summer Stock Austin?
It was not. It was back when... AMT was...
AMT. We were just talking about AMT yesterday.
Hey! Yeah, and then I... trained here and got ready for school and went to, got my BFA at Ithaca College.
You went to Ithaca?
Yeah.
Did you perform at the Hangar Theater?
I sure did.
Did you there? Eat at Simeone's?
I sure did.
Is Ithaca gorgeous?
It sure it is. Gosh.
Let me tell you, in 1990, yes. there was a hot, the host with the most working at Simeone's.
He's still there.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. So someone took Simeone's down in a car like 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Just a couple years ago.
So for those of us that don't know what Simeone's is, what is Simeone's?
Right in the right over at the Commons
not
there.
Not where is it? What is it?
It's a little restaurant bar, but it's like in this little strip.
It's your little town.
In the Commons, which is why I brought the Commons up.
It's
in between Cornell and Ithaca, because that's basically the only two things in Ithaca.
Yep. The Hangar Theater was my first professional gig.
Lovely. Well, Hangar Theater's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
they're
so lovely.
So what show did you do at the Hangar?
I did Spelling Bee.
You did Spelling Bee. Which song? What was your... I don't know the character name, so you're going to have to tell me what song you sang.
Woe is me.
My driving privileges are permanently revoked on Ithaca College campus.
I mean, that's impressive. Did you go to Ithaca College?
No, but I was like in line hall and hanging out all the time. I got in a lot.
Why did you spend time in Ithaca?
Well, I graduated high school. My senior year of high school is in Syracuse right there at Fayetteville Manlius. So a lot of my friends from the High School of Performing Arts here in Texas and my other friends from high school in Syracuse were all there. And I was ahead of semester and deferred. And so before I went to Chicago, I was like bored in Syracuse. So I would drive down to Ithaca to hang out and party with all my friends. Yes. And I was sleeping
nice
in Lion Hall every night.
40-minute drive from
but
Syracuse.
But I wasn't a student. And I would park my car all over campus. But I wasn't a student. So one day I looked up. My mom lived in Albany 3 hours away. And I looked up on the hill and my mom was coming over the corner and was like, they called me. You're not allowed to drive on this college campus. Get the car and get your butt home. And I was like, I'll be there in like 10 minutes. I'm right behind you. And I stayed another 3 days. I was bad.
You're a rebel. You're a
naughty,
college
naughty girl.
So you did Spelling Bee.
Yes.
And you did theater here in Austin under the tutelage of Michael McKelvey. Is Michael McKelvey responsible for you giving you the bug of theater, or did you have it before you met Michael McKelvey?
He really is responsible. I'm one of five kids, and one summer my mom was just like, oh, goodness, get out of the house, please, and sent me to an AMT camp with McKelvey. And he
lit the spark.
Me.
Has anybody, either the two of you, also old Austinites,
no.
AMT people? No.
I'm an old Austinite, but I never did AMT.
You didn't. Yeah, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
I know.
I didn't start theater until the end of my freshman year of college.
Okay. Yeah. Here at UT?
No, I went to Southwestern in Georgetown.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That's a pretty campus. Do they have a theater department there? They've got it. They have a theater department.
I think they might.
What'd you do there? What was the first show that you did in your senior year in college?
In my senior year?
Didn't you say you started
in
your
freshman year?
I changed it to senior year.
The first show I did was the Tony Kushner Project, which was a bunch of his work put together.
Interesting.
Nice,
light, airy kind of subject matter, I'm sure.
I did Brundabar, his little children's book.
Easy.
Then I did Hair. Hair was my first musical.
And did you play a role in Hair, or were you just a member of the tribe?
I was Claude.
You were Claude, of course. Claude Hooper-Pakowski.
That's right. Yep.
You know, you found it groovy to hide in a movie.
I know.
So, Hair's one of my favorites.
Hair is one of my I've done it two or three times now.
So, did you do it elsewhere here?
No, I did it at San Jose Rep.
Okay.
Yes.
In San Jose?
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
I've done that show. Yeah, it has. We were singing Hair last week in the lobby, weren't we?
We were.
Outside going through
That's
great.
And we sang Hair on the show. We played Hair on the show last week.
We did as well.
Because it was the lead out to Steel Magnolias, which takes place in a hair salon.
That's right.
Voila.
It's like,
just try to pick music for Steel Magnolias. I dare you.
But I actually first met Mike in my second musical I ever did, which was Best of the Whorehouse in Texas at Austin Playhouse, where he was musically directing.
Lovely. And that was in their old digs, right? Over on in Penfield.
That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And what did you play for that?
I was an Aggie.
You were an Aggie? You got to sing that Aggie song.
I was such a bad dancer as an Aggie that at one point
that's not good because
that's
all
the
Aggies do, really. Yes.
But at one point, they had us like doing all these like back handsprings and stuff, and they were just like, can you do this? And I said, no. And they go, can you play spoons on the stage and just watch? And I was like, I can do that. I can play spoons with the best of them.
So you're the spoon playing
actor.
That's
right.
Oh, that's amazing. And so that was in, that was Michael. That, who else was in that? Anybody?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Huck Huckabee, I bet, was in it. Yeah. He's in everything. I'll have to play.
Haley.
I was like, Haley Smith was in it.
We love Haley.
That's when I first met Haley, and most of their
company
was in it. It was a great group. Yeah.
So now you, did you move away and come back?
Yes. I left 2.5 years ago to go to grad school in Illinois.
Normal Illinois.
Yes.
That's right. That's what it says. On your Facebook page, it says you still live there.
Yeah, well, not anymore. I just moved to Chicago a few weeks ago, and
I'm happy. Where is Normal? Is that that's not Champaign-Urbana?
No, it's Illinois State University. Right. It's about an hour north of Champaign.
Okay,
and about
so
2 hours
still,
south of Chicago.
Yeah, you're still downstater.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
still
that's
downstater.
So I drove several times between Chicago and Champaign.
Oh yeah,
and like corn and soybeans.
That's all it is.
There's really
that's
not
all
a lot.
It
yeah.
is. Although I did drive that stretch of road in the middle of winter once during a particularly nasty storm that had a lot of winds, and it just because there's nothing really on either side to stop it in the winter.
Crazy.
There's no crops.
You can't really tell
roads. All the roads, the snow is going vertically. It's crazy.
Yes.
There, I mean, when it the first year I was there was the worst winter in 40 years in Illinois, and I looked
that
like
2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was bad winter.
I looked like Joe Pesci in Home Alone every time I walked on the ice. I just was like couldn't stand for any time.
So you went to master's school,
yes,
there, and you got a theater master's.
I got my master's of fine arts in classical acting.
Okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I wanted my master's so I could teach college.
Okay.
First of all, and
have you? Will you?
I want to, yeah. I'm applying right now, actually. So.
I know of a professor in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
That could probably hook you up.
Oh, great. I'll have to talk to him.
I'll give you his name when we go up there.
Yeah. But also, they have a civic engagement program, and so I wanted to do theater work that involved itself in the community to a greater capacity.
Yeah. Cool. And well, that's awesome. So what form did that take, and how were you civically engaged?
Sure. Well, my thesis project, I took an old Ibsen play that no one's professionally produced
an
in
OIP,
the United States.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Called The League of Youth, and with Nigel O'Hearn, another Austinite who lives in Chicago, he wrote and adapted this into a modern political dark comedy set in the Iowa caucus, and then we engaged the Midwest community in the politics of the area and had talkbacks and discussion.
And what era was this during a political campaign at the time?
Well, it was this year, so it was talking a lot about what's happening.
Well, there's
Iowa
nothing
right
happening
now.
Right
I
now
know,
in
right?
Iowa.
So it was great. We're trying to take it to Remy Bumpo Theater in Chicago.
That's over in Chicago's Theater Row, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah,
and then
a lot of this bringing it back,
bring it back to Chicago,
the year, bringing it back.
So we're hoping to get someone to pick it up.
Cool, yeah. Lexi, have you been to Chicago?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Where are you from?
I'm from McAllen, Texas.
From McAllen. I played McAllen in 1974. Did you see me?
No, I did not. I don't think I was born
You're laughing
yet.
Because you were not born then. So then, okay, so I was going to ask you what Deonda, what's your last name? Is that Spanish?
It is. I'm Hispanic.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. It's lovely. Lovely.
So I'm new to Austin. I just moved here in August.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
And yeah, I've done only one other show here, and it was with Austin Theater Project. We did Godspell last summer.
Yes, I saw it.
And it was fun. I had a great time.
Yeah.
But this is my first show working with Michael. And it's been great. I love
him. He's
Michael.
Awesome.
He is.
He's fun to work with.
He's our McKelvey. So did you come straight from McAllen to Austin?
From Laredo, actually.
Okay.
I studied in Laredo, and I lived there for about 5 to 6 years.
And
I did some performing
what school
there.
Is there?
It's Texas A&M International.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Do
and
they
it's
have a
not
theater
a degree.
Department?
See, it's not a degree in theater. It's a degree in music performance.
Oh,
so.
La, la, la.
Interesting.
So
that's quite cool.
So did everybody specialize in college or in your schooling on musical theater specifically?
Ithaca's program, I struggled a lot with whether to get my BFA in acting or musical theater. And Ithaca's program.
Get that microphone closer to you,
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. Okay. I basically got the same training as an acting major, and then I just took extra classes on top. So I'd say more.
And are we all triple threats? Well, no, we already learned about you.
My dancing
you,
is better now.
I feel like we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
My dancing is not so great.
Okay, so get thee to a class.
Yes.
I tend to gravitate towards the shows that actually Dr. Mista does, these kind of more you know, tongue in cheek, mm-hmm. or like Next to Normal is the type of show that I really enjoy. The kind of really heavy on the book.
Yeah. By the way, Next to Normal comedy. Is not tongue in cheek.
No, no, no. As far as the one that don't require a lot of dancing.
Yeah. Well, so I would suggest. Now you live in Chicago now.
Yes, I do.
And so you need to go to dance class.
Oh yeah.
And Lexi, you live in Austin
yes,
now.
I do.
You also need to go to dance class. Mm-hmm. There.
Well, there's a lot of great places to take dance classes in both those cities.
There
so
is.
You two are
there
in
is.
Luck.
And Monique, of course, you are a perfect dancer. So you
just,
do not need
you know,
to.
I would pull out a triple right here, but there isn't the room.
She's twirling
in the parking
sweet.
Lot.
What are you talking about?
she's on.
Flatte,
she's got her
twirling.
Toe shoes. She's fuetoing around.
She has
she's
not stopped dancing.
She came
in here.
Ball change her little.
She's flat ball changing.
Out of this
she's
theater, you know, out of
she's
studio.
Fondueing and developing like it's crazy.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Now I'm hungry.
Girl. Oh my God! There went. She just did a layout just like Ann Reinking.
So Lexi, what's there's actually a pretty big space of time between Godspell and Debbie Does Dallas. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing in the meantime?
I was still in Laredo and I teach. Yes, yeah. So I did the show here last summer and I was staying with my friend in Austin.
Uh-huh.
And I found out about auditions. And I was like, well, since I'm here, might as well try out. And I got in and it was great.
So and you now moved here.
Yes, moving to Austin has been a long time plan.
Yeah,
I'm married and my husband and I have always we love Austin.
So and you brought him with you?
Yes, he is here.
You brought him with you?
He is here.
Excellent.
Did you bring your husband with you, Monique?
To this interview, yes. Great. He's
he's
been really quiet.
He's very quiet. He's a Lilliputian. He's in her purse. Is your husband in the business?
He is not. He's actually studying animation. Oh. He's
working
on
his
degree
kind
right
of the business. That's quasi
it's
in the
still
business.
Still creative, yes.
Yeah. Well, so what did you teach in Laredo?
Music.
Music?
Mm-hmm.
Like singing or?
I taught elementary and middle school, so it was choral-based.
Choral-based,
yes.
And did you have little Schroeder toy pianos?
Oh, yeah. And the recorders, you know, those things.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Great.
I love
great
recorders.
Her students are loving
I grew up
the
in
show.
The 70s. We were all about recorders.
They're sitting in the front row. They're coming to see the
her
show.
Her students
yeah,
are
so that,
the show.
So that's actually, how was it a mixed bag of excitement and sadness to leave your kid?
It was. It was heartbreaking. So that last year that I was there, I kind of, I tried to put on as many productions with them as possible just to say goodbye, but here's all of these wonderful memories I'm going to leave you with. But I had a great time in Laredo, and I'm teaching here now in Austin, too.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, same can ages?
You, now it's just elementary.
Can you tell us where? Are you at AISD?
I probably shouldn't share too much about that.
All right. You don't. Okay, got it. But we're glad you're doing it. We talk a lot on our program about how important arts education is, and we're glad you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so when you're just out of curiosity, so you're teaching elementary age kids, and obviously abilities are going to vary. But have you ever run across that kid that just has it?
That prodigy.
Like almost a prodigy, but like there, your eyes get wide and you're nodding your head. So
yes.
Tell us about it.
There was a couple back in Laredo. Seeing that I just started here, I'm still getting to know the students
because
I only see them once a week. But there was a couple. I had a fourth grader, and I cast her as Annie in our spring production last in May, and she was so great. Like I had never seen a 9-year old. I've never known that a 9-year-old child could carry an entire show on her own. And it was amazing. And I was thinking back to myself as a child, and I was like, there's no way I could ever do something like this. And she had every line down, every musical cue. You know, she was helping out all her other little friends that were not up to her level. And so it was really awesome.
Rock on. That's cool.
That's why those kids in School of Rock rock.
Yeah. They just make me so angry whenever I see like Matilda or School of Rock.
Oh,
I just
know.
Get so angry.
The talent
you
on
get
Broadway
angry?
Right
yeah,
now,
I'm
it's
like,
disgusting,
I know,
man.
Like,
it's,
I think of myself at that age and I was just like,
there's
gosh,
no
I'm awful.
I remember when I saw the Revolting Children video from Matilda, I started crying.
I actually do a little. I tear up.
Let me tell you something. I was bawling like a baby through the whole show.
That
show is just like, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I just want to thank you guys for joining us back here amongst the cars and the grates.
Yes.
Be careful as you go back to the backstage area so that you don't bother Henry, the flyman, who's usually asleep right at the stage door.
Okay, we'll be quiet.
Noted.
Just be very, very quiet. I want you to have a great Christmas. It is a hard candy Christmas, as we know, we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to be a hard candy Christmas.
That's all right.
Because we'll be fine and dandy.
That's right.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.